What up? We're back. Happy Thursday in your short week for all our U.S. residents. If you are elsewhere and you had a holiday, hope it was a great short week. If you didn't, hope it's a great regular week for you.
Was it a shorts week as well? Like, how hot was it?
It is so hot in North Carolina right now. It is, like, on average, like 99 degrees this week.
What did you eat for Labor Day?
Like, what was your meal? So I for sure cooked burgers. However, they were chicken burgers. I gotta tell you, I make a mean chicken burger from scratch.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah, I make it from scratch. Like, I'm a decent cook, y'all. I'm pretty decent. If you want to come over to my house for a little BBQ, I'm down. But Javi, before we dive in, man, what's your specialty meal?
Like, to prepare, probably ceviche. So, like, when I went on dates, my second date meal was a ceviche. So I would go on a second date and I will go, let me cook for you. I will prepare this, like, Peruvian dish, which is, like, you know, marinated raw fish.
I don't know about y'all. I'm starting to fall for Javier. He's about to cook me some ceviche on our second date.
Sure, man.
I mean, how many times have I actually seen you in person?
Beijing conference. What about that? What if I make ceviche for everyone? We have like 3,000.
Who's gonna sponsor Javier's ceviche bar? Joe Brady, what's up, man? Nikan in Atlantic City, great event. Make sure you're coming to Benzinga as well, sir. You can't come on Benzinga and advertise another event without coming to our event too. But welcome in, sir. Appreciate you. Hey, we work with MJ Biz. We work with MJ Impact. Rising tide lifts all ships in this industry. Let's all work together. Let's all have great networking, great content, great education. That's what it's all about. And with that said, we're here for content and education ourselves. Aaron Thomas, get us going. Joe Brady, no apologies necessary, man. Just want you to come to our event too, is all. Right? We just want to see you. We want to shake your hand. We'll give you a hug.
Want to be
over friendly with you.
What is the discount code for Joe Brady?
ELLIOT20 Elliot 20 for a 20% off discount code.
That sounds a little bit like a Jackson 5 song. ELLIOT Whatever, I can't spell.
Oh, I love you. All right, so Javi, we had some pretty big news this morning that I'm pretty sure did we break it?
Yeah, we did.
We broke the news this morning.
But Benzinga, you heard it first on Benzinga Cannabis. Benzinga.com/cannabis for your daily dose of cannabis news. Today, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, breaking news out of High Times Holding Corp, owner of the very famous, legendary High Times magazine and other brands like the Cannabis Cup and 420.com, etc. They did a deal with Lucy Scientific Discovery, LSDI, on the NASDAQ, which will take High Times to the NASDAQ. So a bunch of people, 40,000 people, I think, had the stock and had bought the stock during the Reg A Plus offering. Okay, you go. What's your question?
No. I just want to let you know I have a question, but I want you to finish your thought first. 40,000 people bought the stock during the Reg A offer.
So, you know, 40,000 people hold equity in High Times, which is a privately held company at the moment, right? And they had been trying to go public for a while, and they finally struck this deal with Lucy Scientific, which focuses mostly on the psychedelic side of stuff, and is led by Richard Nanulak, who
and safe consumption sites for all drugs. I think that's really cool.
I love it, man.
Yeah,
honestly, I love it. And they're doing this stock exchange where High Times will get almost 19.9% of Lucy's shares. This is an all stock deal for the divested assets that High Times will. Again, divest. This is IP, brand, and licensing business, which it will then relicense to High Times, right? The price of the transaction is still undisclosed, but we should hear about that very soon. And of course, you'll find out about it first on Benzinga. My favorite thing about this was, you know, chatting with Adam Deming, who's the executive chairman at High Times. And he said, putting High Times into the hands of the senior brands builder who helped make Disney what it is today is a wish upon a star, he said. Which that was like hilarious. He says, you know, like just like Disney has hotels, theme parks, and media properties, High Times compares very similarly, where High Times has events, content platforms, and merchandise. The two are very much akin.
Very B2C centric, right? Very yep. like very consumer centric everything, right? It's a very interesting acquisition on a lot of levels. You know, I think the cross industry acquisition shows that Lucy is really, you know, they're looking at a lot of different legalization efforts, I think. But more specifically, and I ask this as a colleague in the space, from media company to media company, you know, this is actually reported by Green Market Report and Deborah Borchardt maybe a month ago, maybe a month to 2 months ago. But High Times has significant leverage, significant debt on their balance sheet, right? Yes. So Lucy is acquiring that. I mean, are they getting a deal? Are they getting a steal?
That's why I think it's only like 19% of the total stock, right? Like Lucy Scientific right now has a market cap of 11.5 million. So, yeah, we'll have to see the rest of the details of this deal and what it really entails. What we know right now for a fact, and to me, this is why this is important. More than 40,000 shareholders were sitting with equity in a company that was not liquid, right? And they were waiting for this event to happen. They bought into this Reggae Plus, you know, crowdfunding offering several years ago. And the NASDAQ wasn't taking High Times because they have, like, the NASDAQ has this mandate where they won't take companies that touch THC in the United States, right? And through dispensaries or through cannabis cups or whatever, High Times is conceived as a plant-touching company.
I mean, that's awesome. At the end of the day, like, I really like High Times. They're necessary for this space. We need that sort of media. You need Benzinga, to be frank. You need Cannabis Business Times. You need Cannabis Now, right? You need Nug Magazine. You need these media platforms to solidify and mature your industry, right? You know, and support your cannabis media, right? Support Javi and his team. Yeah. Make sure you're giving your news to cannabis media and helping them grow as well. But Javi, yeah. It's a super interesting acquisition.
Here's something you can do to support media, right? Beyond like advertising or whatever. It's like support the good content on social media, for instance, right? Many times, for instance, at Benzinga, at El Planteo, we post something a little bit more trivial and people on social media will go like, well, this is so irrelevant. But that post gets like 500,000 views, literally, or a million views for a reel about someone talking randomly about weed. But then you post a carousel of 10 news items that are super relevant and it gets 100 likes because people, you know, won't reward the boring content, but they demand it. So here's something you can do to support your fellow journalists, you know, reward that good content, even when it's not as clickbaity, even when it's not as, you know, the hot take. It's important because someone needs to keep you abreast of this, right?
Amen. Amen, Javi. All right, Javi, we need to move on. I'm going to clip you short on news, but it was a really big news item that Benzinga broke. Lucy Scientific acquires High Times. Congrats to both teams. That is significant on a lot of levels. So with that being said, as I voice crack, I'm 5. Leave me alone. We're going to bring over Drew Matthews, CEO of Green Life Business Group. Very, very excited for this discussion. Drew, welcome in, sir. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're very good. Glad to have you on.
Dandy.
Listen, you are probably doing something that a lot of people feel is hard to do in this space right now. So I just want you to give us from your words, what is it that you're doing in the cannabis space?
Yeah, so Green Life Business Group, we've been in operation since 2016. We are located here in San Diego, California. We look at all the type of businesses and real estate that exist out there in terms of cannabis. That's the only thing that we broker. And we obviously focus on, you know, small businesses that go for 100,000 and, you know, portfolios that go for over 50 million. So we're, you know, very, very heavy in the space. We do a lot of transactions. We're more volume based. Like I said, we average probably about 15 deals a quarter. And wow. Even in this time where, you know, people aren't doing a lot of deals, there's a lot of distressed assets out there. And there's a lot of people that are still running into the fire, you know, that are picking stuff up, pennies on the dollar, doubling down. So, you know, even right now, like just kind of giving you guys a quick, you know, recap of this year for us, quarter one was extremely slow, but, you know, the deal flow for quarter one would have been quarter four, right, of last year. And quarter two was extremely busy for us. In quarter three, it's starting to slow down again, but we're very cautiously optimistic about quarter four.
I'm going to ask you for some like internal metrics. You can pass, but like, I got to ask, like, what is the average like size of transactions that you handle? I'm curious, like generally, right? Like what kind of businesses are moving the most? Is it like 100K or like the $50 million?
Oh no. Yeah. Nobody's really going for some of the big ones. I would say the average right now, I would say for a retail storefront in California, even though we're, you know, now in 15 different states, I stick to California because that's our base. Dispensaries are actually closing somewhere between, I'd say like 750 and about $2 million is really kind of the sweet spot. And the one that's taken the heaviest hit of the entire California market is definitely Los Angeles and San Francisco. I mean, there's stores that, you know, less than a year ago would have gone for $5 or $6 million that we have on the market today for under $2 million. You know, I'm talking about West Hollywood too, like prime locations.
So who's buying these stores? Right. I mean, we understand why these companies are going out of business, and you don't have to tell me specifically who, but like, I mean, are these larger MSOs sweeping up these companies? It doesn't seem like it from a California perspective, but I'd love your two cents on that.
It's funny you say that because those MSOs, those public companies you're talking about, those are mostly our sellers right now, you know? So the guys that are buying these are typically groups that, one of two things, either it's their first cannabis business, you know, a guy owns 60 Carl's Juniors or, you know, somebody that, you know, small family office, health side that wants to be able to get into the industry and see that the valuations are an all time low. But really the ones that are, I would say that are the giant bulk of it, if I had to put it under a category, it's the guys that you guys don't really, like people don't really hear of that have maybe 3 to 4 stores. Amazing operator, works 364 days out of the year, is just a grinder. Those are the guys that are, you know, picking these up again, pennies on the dollar, and have the formula, have the sauce that a lot of these larger companies, you know, might not be able to incorporate, you know, because, you know, when you're running a dispensary or, you know, grow or whatever, I mean, you got to be dialed in A through Z, and, you know, to really be, you know, even just afloat, right? You got to do almost everything perfectly right now.
And a quick follow-up to that, you know, what's one thing specifically that you see some of the best retailers doing?
That's a great question. So what I would say is, obviously, you know, I'm not breaking news here. Location is huge. But, you know, especially being in San Diego and in Mission Valley, which is one of the best areas in all San Diego to be. I mean, there's maybe 5 or 6 stores. And obviously, I'm not going to name drop who they are, but I've spoken pretty much to all of them, have came in at some point to do an evaluation. And the numbers are all over the place, you know, from as low as 4 million to guys doing 35 million. And I'm talking like in a 1-2 mile radius of each other. Mm-hmm. And the guys that are doing those 25 million plus numbers, what I see that they do extremely well is obviously the retention program is through the charts, great loyalty program, but also to the people that are behind the counter. It's not just somebody that's there taking in an order. Okay, see you later. It's a whole nother level from, you know, they've got iPads, you know, behind the counter that says the client's name, and you're like, okay, John got, you know, Blue Dream Sativa or whatever it is. And they make that customer feel extremely important, comfortable. So like, hey, John, you know, I saw that you got, you know, Blue Dream last time. Just so you know, you know, we also have these specials. So they're constantly upselling, even though that customer might already be coming for just that product. That average ticket is much different than maybe the guy across the street. You know, I'm talking $30 plus, because the owners have set minimums of what they need to actually hit. So if you've got the average ticket going up, you've got a great location, you got a great loyalty program, you carry all the brands, there's no ego in the dispensary. Just because I might not like so-and-so, I'm not going to carry their brand. You got to follow what the customers are looking for. So the people that understand that, put the ego aside and is looking to do, you know, the best numbers possible, those are the guys that are crushing it. And like I said, the grinders, the guys that are in the shop constantly making sure that they're perfecting their model. I know not everybody can work, you know, 364 days, but, you know, when I say that, I'm thinking of a specific couple that does that, that's absolutely crushing it.
I don't know if everyone can work 364 days a year. You know, I have a question, but before that, I found it, I don't know why, but I found it hilarious when you said this guy has 60 Carl Juniors and is going for a dispensary license. And so he's like, that is vertical integration. That is full vertical integration. Like, he knows how to drive new customers to his shops.
Yeah.
It's like fantastic.
But you know, well, that's the thing is. Yeah, with everything going, you know, with everything going on, you know, people are looking for new streams of income. And I mean, it's no surprise that, you know, cannabis is going to attract, you know, other sectors. But people, you know, and I'll say this, the people that are buying the very first cannabis business, which we do all the time, you know, that's a huge chunk of the people buying these. The sad thing is they underestimate the market. For sure. You know, even with a lot of these guys, let's say not the Carl's Jr. guy, but let's say somebody else, you know, a lot of people don't want retail, so they'll buy cultivations, you know, and with cultivations, you know, again, never met the second best grower in the world, right? So everybody can have somebody that's a great grower. But the part they forget is the distribution plan. How am I actually going to be able to make it successful, profitable? You know, they just know they have got, you know, this magical, you know, master grower, but it's way beyond that, right? And there's so many different elements, and you know, a lot of those are the growing pains. But I mean, if there's a time to buy, it would be now. So
You know, the one follow-up for me, or the question I had actually, you know, is you know, looking at the offerings, I am surprised to see like some of the lower priced offerings. Like there's a portable cannabis delivery license in LA for $45,000. A cannabis cultivation and processor license in Oakville, Washington for under $50,000. Another one in Oklahoma, cultivation, $50,000. You know what? These are numbers that I never imagined I would see. You know, the cannabis is supposed to be this multi-million dollar investment industry. Can you explain like what's going on there? If it makes sense, if it's like small licenses, if it's an exception, what is going on with those prices?
So the problem is that a lot of these people sign leases, right? Back when it was 16, 17, 18, where landlords were jacking up the rent, and the business is not sustainable at this point. So that's why you're seeing a lot of these guys. And, you know, you're mentioning prices. I mean, you know, we've got over 200 active exclusive cannabis listings on the market today. And we have some that are for free. You can literally pick up the licenses for free. You know, all you have to do is take over the lease, and that's just where the market's gone. I mean, the least desirable or the licenses that absolutely nobody is inquiring about anymore, type sixes, type sevens manufacturings. Nobody's asking for them anymore. Some distros, surprisingly, you know, with cultivation, we actually have a pretty big demand. And I know I keep referencing California, but again, I just want to make it clear. We are in 15 states, but with California specific, Southern California is still hot for indoor grows. And I know I'm kind of going all over the place, but what I'm trying to wrap this back around is there are certain licenses that are still in demand, but the ones that you're talking about, like a delivery in Oakland or a distro, Yeah, people are just saying, get me out of this mess. I'm underwater. I'm bleeding. Crazy tax exposure. I'm willing to just, you know, even though they've built it out, maybe they've put a half a million. I mean, I'm not going to name drop, obviously, anybody today, but there's a guy that put in over $1.5 million in his store in the desert. And the guy came on the market for like $5.99 or something like that. And we brought him an offer within a week. And that was the problem. It happened too quickly for like $400,000 or $500,000. And he declined. We brought him another offer for like $350,000. He declined. We dropped that client. And here we are 6 months later. And we just received a call that if he doesn't get an offer of at least $250,000 within 2 weeks, he's closing the doors. And so my point is, a lot of these sellers, I understand that they're going for a number that they want to get, but then there's obviously reality, right? And with the amount of transactions that we've done, we try to educate, you know, our clients, and we've built this brand based on great business and not just looking to just make a commission. We're looking to build relationships. So we're constantly giving in the trenches, real-time evaluations of what's going on, you know, which is a little bit different than maybe some of these bigger transactions, because being in the trenches, it's constantly changing. Evaluations at this point are now changing almost on a monthly basis. And it's only been on a decline since 2018. Mm-hmm.
So one thing this looks at for me is that, where I take some optimism from this, is that it sounds like there's some new money coming into the space, albeit in small ways. But there's still interest from outside the industry in getting into the industry and investing in what's happening in California or the 14 other states that you're in. Right. So is that an accurate takeaway from this conversation, is that there is new money still coming into the space, albeit just not in big ways?
Absolutely. No, without a doubt. And listen, we actually have not even that long ago, I would say in the last 60 days, where, you know, we're having family offices that are showing, you know, a lot of liquidity that claim they're going to be starting to acquire, you know, 8 to 10 dispensaries. Now, there's some of them that are in escrow and they haven't closed. So, you know, holding our breath, see if if that little sector is starting to pick up. But absolutely, I mean, there's always going to be people, there's always going to be a new wave of people that want to look and, you know, see if this is an industry that they feel like they can capitalize on. Because like I said, evaluations have never been lower. There's been so much stuff coming through receivership with us, so much distressed assets. So yeah, I mean, we're looking at it like this, that not only is there new money coming in, but with the other states like New Jersey, you know, we're seeing actually a lot of traction in Massachusetts, some of these other states. We actually have groups that are, you know, MSOs, medium-sized MSOs that are going after them as well. So, yeah, I mean, I would say ultimately there's still action. If people say that it's dead, that nothing's happening at all, that's definitely not accurate, because, like I said, we're moving them. And even though, like I said, they're not maybe the $20, $50 million deals right now, there's still people that are acquiring these, building their brand, and looking to hopefully one day be able to exit when the time is right.
Yeah, Drew, this is incredibly interesting. Rusticale throwing some really interesting questions in the chat. Just like 2 minutes, and then we have to move on here. But Stem Holdings or Headwaters, you probably can't chat about any company specifically, but he's asking if you have any thoughts on either of those.
No, like I said, a lot, you'd be very surprised. Like, you know, a lot of our sellers are, you know, some of the biggest public MSO companies right now that have active listings with us. So yeah, in regards to just the general, stuff that's going around, I would just say, you know, for now, we'll just hold off.
Yeah, it makes sense, Drew. But rest okay. I appreciate the questions, man. Drew, this has been incredibly interesting. Any last thoughts for the audience here? We are setting you up to join us, not trying to pigeonhole you into California, but you're going to be chatting about the state of California retail with us in Chicago in less than 3 weeks. Super excited to have your voice in that conversation. But anything else you'd like to leave our audience with today?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, like I said, on our website, which is greenlifebusiness.com, you know, we average pretty much about a new listing per day. And you could obviously see kind of, we always list them from newest to oldest. So you always see kind of what's hitting the market live, since we post them up, you know, pretty much immediately. And, you know, we also, on our sold transactions, we actually put the actual number it sells at. And a lot of people go, you know, well, you see what they're going for, but what do they actually sell for? We actually adjust it to the actual sold price. So I think that's pretty interesting to know that there is a place to go to where you can actually see what they close for. So, I mean, I don't know anybody else that has that.
No. I love that data, Drew. Thank you for putting that out there, man. If you're interested in looking at a business, you know, wherever these guys operate, 15 states, check out greenlifebusinessgroup.com or glbusinessgroup.com.
Green Life Business.
greenlifebusiness.com. He even put it up there. It's in front of my face. I can't read. Drew, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate your time. We'll see you in a few weeks, my friend.
Sweet, man. Thank you guys for having me, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, Javi, that was a fun interview, man. Honestly, probably super some of the best insights we've had M&A-wise in a while.
Look at this.
I know. I love that.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Rustikale. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Javi, we got to keep it moving, though. We're not done today.
Yep.
Don't you all leave. We still have another guest. Go. Javi, who we got, man? We got Mike McDonald, right?
Yes, sir. From Dablicator. Love the company too. I love the product actually. I have a bunch of questions. So let's get them all.
Let's do it. I just rock out to that theme every time. Mike, how you doing, sir? Good to have you. You're muted. Just FYI.
I was going to say, nice music, man. Nice transition.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you here. Dablicator might be the coolest name. No offense to Drew before us. What do you guys do? What's up, man? Tell us about you.
So just quick background. I don't know if you're familiar with Jetty Extracts, but we're part of Jetty. We invented this product called Dablicator at Jetty, gosh, about 5-6 years ago. I'm one of the principals over at Jetty. And I saw it as a device that was really cool. People were starting to dig it. It's basically a way better syringe. But we saw it as an opportunity to like take concentrates beyond just this sort of syringy type vibe. And we launched it as a platform about 3 years ago. And this is the product real quick. You guys may have seen it. You know, it's just a cool syringe that twists and plunges. What am I doing?
Yeah, it's like a hybrid. It's like a syringe and a pen had a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a product, it applies cannabis oil, fully activated cannabis oil to make an infused joint, to put it on flour to make it stronger. Oh, what cool. It's become is a thousand milligram edible. We have a cookbook coming out that it's the easiest way to make at home edibles. You skip the whole process. But I think we could talk about the product itself. Yeah. You're showing some of the applications, but you know, based on our last guest, you know, and part of Jetty and you know, we are in that canopy roll up as well. So we got nice financing to run this business with Jetty. It's one of the few, and I may, you know, I'm a little biased, but it's one of the few bright spots in the industry. I mean, we went from zero partners 3 years ago, 710 called us and said, hey, we really like this product. Can we put our RSO in it? You know, next thing we know, Columbia Care called us. We're now 46 brand partners in 27 states.
Phenomenal, man.
And over $100 million of retail revenue generated for these partners. Because, well, it's like a new category all of a sudden. Everybody's looking for new revenue. Well, this is new revenue. And part of the issue is, or part of the success is the product. But our whole model was, let's put a shit ton, or pardon me, of marketing and support behind this new idea and give the retailers something new to sell, someplace to put their excess oil. And if you talk to some of our partners, they're like, oh my God, you guys do so much to help us educate our consumers and our bud tenders. We just had a van going around the country for the last year. It's visited over 1,000 dispensaries. It's my crazy brother. He wouldn't come off the road. So it's a cool product, but I think the platform and our approach to making it successful is what's sort of been the secret sauce.
Both of us have follow-ups, but Javi, you're the better one. Go for it.
I mean, I know you're biased, right? But try and leave those biases aside for a second, right? Because when I first saw the Dabbacator several years ago, it was like, I mean, in 1 year, this is going to be the standard for all oils, all concentrates, even dabs, right? Like no more of these little jars and the little spoon. But I mean, why isn't it like something that is used by everyone? Do you think it's just like that people are still not familiar with it? Is it like the adoption curve? Is it a pricing issue maybe? I mean, is it more expensive?
That's a great question, Javier. It's a couple of things. One is it's new to the market, even though we've been out about 2+ years. The market's been really fragmented. You know, we have most of the MSOs on the platform, but, you know, Kevin Moses at Verano is like, man, I love it, but shit, we got other things to deal with. Like, you know, Kevin didn't say this, but staying solvent. But, you know, new products are not necessarily a big thing. So, but I think two things. One is I don't think it's going to replace the jar of the dabbing, because that's a really beautiful ritual that a lot of dabbers and connoisseurs enjoy. And you can get different viscosities of oil, thicker stuff, crystally stuff.
Yeah, even crystals.
Yeah, that you can't push through a syringe or a dabblicator. And then why isn't everybody using it? We are seeing like this adoption of folks that would never dab. They're using it to create their own edibles because it's got precise and regular dosing. So you know what's going into your brownies immediately instead of 3 hours later. You're seeing people use it in as a sublingual. So you're seeing consumers use it where they never would have used the syringe and they never even thought about dabbing. As the snowball sort of rolls down the hill, you are beginning to see people, you know, consumers going in and buying one and then coming back and buying three. It is, I mentioned earlier, and maybe I don't want too many of the compliance folks listening to this, but it's a 1,000-milligram edible. Because it's an inhalable, it fits into the inhalable category. But what we're seeing is consumers are buying it to eat it, to put it in coffee, to put it in food. So I think we've kind of hit these different use cases. And then the fun marketing and promotion we're doing is sort of doing little by little to break through the noise that is in the industry, as you know, you guys have been talking about.
All right, my turn, Javi. Myself in the chat, we got some cues. First of all, an interesting point here from Jamie McLaren. Let's get refillable carts to reduce cart waste and buy dabblicators to fill them.
I love
a great
that
idea.
It's one of the uses. 100%. We're seeing it as a use. It's not a big thing in California, by the way, refilling carts. That's where we come from. But I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. People are buying it for this use.
Yeah. I mean, probably uses you didn't even realize. She also asks, though, how is the recovery percentage of the product?
It's such an awesome question. We're coming out with our version 4.0.
What does it even mean? Wait, what is the recovery percentage? Let's dial back a second. What is recovery percentage?
It's kind of straightforward once you hear it. So you put 1,000 milligrams in, how much do you get out? Right. So with a cartridge, you're not getting 100% recovery.
So frustrating. Right? Oh, so frustrating. I've tried every possible way, just like opening the cap. Right.
And with a typical syringe, you know, you buy 1,000 milligrams, you want 1,000 milligrams out, but you don't. You get maybe 80-85% recovery because the thicker, the bigger the tube, more kind of squishes to the side. Our new 4.0, over 95% recovery.
Whoa. Rate.
And that's something that we didn't even know was an issue, but we had a comment. We had one of our partner labs and say, hey man, this is the version that we're doing now. Like we're getting 93-92% recovery. I'm like, well, screw that, man. We're going to get that up. So our new version that's coming out at MJ Biz is 95% plus.
Hold up. Coming out at MJ Biz, you know, Benzinga has an event in 3 weeks, right?
You know what? I've been to your events as part of the Jetty crew. I'm going to be in Chicago next week, but I'm not going to be there the following week. But I want to we should talk, because what we're finding is you guys are one of the good guys. Like you guys are sticking around and really contributing to what the industry needs right now, which is a level, you know, a solid voice, something that's not doom and gloom. So thank you. Ron Grishoni, I don't know if you know Ron from Jetty. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Ron's going to be there. But I'd like to talk about how we can participate in the future.
Certainly, we love Jetty. Jetty's great. Yeah. And honestly, Dabblecator, this is new to me. You guys are really building something really cool here.
Thank you.
I have a question. And then, Javi, if you want to, you know, go through the chat as well here, Rustikale and Jamie are giving us our run for our money as moderators. You guys are awesome. But, Mike, you know, when you put it into an edible at home, you know, or, you know, maybe on the line, right, talk to me about taste, right? How do you all decide, you know, terpenes, flavor, like what are you all doing there to make this the best product it can be for consumers?
Well, you asked a question that is worth answering in two parts. One is our business model. We don't put any oil in it. We sell the hardware to our partners. We custom brand it, right? Like, so here's Jetty's product, right? Mm-hmm. We make the packaging for them. We sell them the hardware. They fill them, assemble them, and then take them to market. And we help them with the marketing. So we're kind of like a C-cell or an ABD, if you will, for the oil application mm-hmm. side of things.
Perfect.
So the answer really is what's in your Dabblecator? So, you know, Superflux, you know, Acreage is putting a live resin with minimal terps. 710 Labs is doing a really thick, you know, juicy RSO. Distillate is still king. Mm-hmm. 7-8% terp distillate is still a big thing in a lot of markets. Jetty kills it with their live rosin. So it depends market by market. And, you know, some of our partners are actually making formulas that are more designed for being put into food, being put in making your own tincture so you can make cocktails out of it. But it's a good question, because if it's a super heavy weedy vibe, you might not want that in your, you know, your winter soup. And we're coming out with a cookbook. I'll get you guys copies of the cookbook. It's coming out in a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
One of the things, you know, that I'm curious about is like the infusion side of it, right? Like using it in meals or whatever. If it's an oil, of course, it's ready to consume without combustion. But like, let's say other things like a rosin or the thicker stuff that people use to dab, or what do you call it when you put it? It tracks it? Is it when you put it around
So
like, but how does that work for like if I'm using one of these? Are they activated, or do I need to cook it before?
No, this is, well, again, it's what oil you'd put in it. But yeah, it's all decarb, ready to go. So this is Jetty's solventless live rosin. And if you ate a little bit of it, you'd be really freaking high. So you got to be careful. We have dosing instructions. But everything that goes in it is fully decarbed activated oil. Although we do provide honey pens for demonstrations at the dispensaries. And believe it or not, we put a bunch of sunscreen in them for a recent golf event to kind of show how it works and make sure nobody got burnt up at the event. But it's activated oil. In our recipes, we have a can of butter recipe that you can use and keep on the side for future. We have a tincture recipe that you can use it for cocktails or really microdosing, or anything that's fatty, like a brownie mix or whatever, you can just squirt in. So for example, if you want to make 20 brownies, you put 200 milligrams into the mix, you mix it up, you pour it into a pan, you cut them into the right size, and you've got, you know, you've got 20, 10 milligram brownies. It wasn't invented for that, though. It was literally invented as a good dabbing device and something for a friend of ours that had cancer that he needed to eat cannabis, but it was sloppy with a spoon and this and that. So the guys at Jetty, Nate and Ron, invented this product as part of solving that problem. Then it's had a bunch of generations. We're on the fourth generation right now.
I love that. Yeah, this has been incredibly interesting, Mike. And honestly, congrats to you and your team for building something that sounds like there was a need for it with so much demand. It sounds like we'll be seeing a lot more of it on our shelves. Actually, our producer, Aaron Thomas, just chatted with us. He has the 710 RSO at home. You're making your way into Michigan, man.
Well, oh yeah, we're Sozo is one of our partners in Michigan. We should be there with TerrAscend by next year.
Nice.
I will say quickly in closing, you know, we invented something that there was a need for, but I think we also invented mm-hmm. something that people didn't know they needed. And that's kind of a cool way to come out with a product. You're like, I don't want to compare us to Apple, but what did Apple do? They invented all these things that we never knew we wanted. So I'm really excited about the category we feel like we've invented. And, you know, a year or two from now, when you go into any dispensary, there should be a whole Dabblicator section with five or six brands. And it's just part of your repertoire as a retailer. But man, hey, get me some addresses, guys. I know a guy who knows a guy. Maybe I could send you some samples to check out yourselves.
Listen, my friend, I will, I'll give you my address, but if you can find me any legal weed in North Carolina, help me out.
You're in North Carolina. Yeah. Well, if a FedEx shows up at your house, but no, you guys, I don't know if you have my email, but it's mike@dabblicator.com. Hit me up. We're dabblicator.com. We're having a lot of fun. We're enjoying helping an industry that's struggling. And we're just,
that's important, man. Like, I think there's a lot of passion in this industry and sometimes it runs hot. You know, and I think we need to take a step back and realize how cool what we're doing really is. And Mike, you're embodying that. We really appreciate your time with us
today. Thank you, guys. All right, Javier, Elliot, thank you so much for having me on. I look forward to connecting up. Let me know about future opportunities with you.
Oh, I'm going to be in touch. Oh, yeah. Don't you worry about that, Mike. We'll talk to you soon, man. You guys, thank you, dude. Peace. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you, Jamie and Rustikale, for all your content in the chat. Honestly, you guys are awesome. MSOX from Rustikale about to break out again. So some stocks coming back down to earth a little bit today. That said, expected. I think the idea here, when you look at stocks, and Rustikale, you probably know this better than myself, but like you want to set that new low, right? You know, so set that new low, and Javi's team is going to cover that all up the wazoo. Keep an eye on benzinga.com/cannabis for all your news, and get the Benzinga app. Scroll over to the cannabis news feed, infinity scroll of all of our cannabis news, 30 articles a day. I mean, no sleep.
Infinity scroll, indeed. My God. I got to get those Dabblicators to Argentina, actually, in Latin America. I think they'll be a game changer.
I think you could probably do that, considering he doesn't make his own oil and distillate for it and rosin. Seriously, though, thank you all for tuning in. Really appreciate it. It was a longer episode this week for both episodes, but really appreciate you guys. We'll do this next week again, some more great guests, but then we are off for Benzinga's Cannabis Capital Conference. And we'll be back in October after that. So tune in next week for your episodes then. Javier, appreciate you, man. Last words to you, my brother.
BZCannabis.com. Come join us in Chicago, September 27 and 28. The best cannabis events, the best cannabis business, branding, finance, investing conference in the world. Come get your money.
Yep. And if you advertise other events in our chat, you have to attend our event too. That's the rule. We'll see you guys later. See you Tuesday. Appreciate you all. Peace. We'll be right back.